I want to introduce you Ludovic Cortés. Sorry for my pronunciation, if it's wrong. And he have a talk to about the geeks in the container age, system management. Yeah, welcome.
Thank you for the introduction. All right, good evening, everyone. So indeed, I'm going to talk about GNU geeks. And I'm in a containers track, containers and security, I think it's called. So I'm a bit of an outlier because I'm going to talk about geeks, which is in part about containers, but you know, it's mostly about deployment in general, and it's a bit also about distros. So yeah, I'm an outlier. So before I start talking about geeks itself, let me just do a brief introduction to talk about distros and the state of distributions. So if you were already in this room early in the afternoon, like at 2 p.m., I think, there was a talk, and the abstract of the talk had these lines, which is, you know, the Linux distribution, as we know it, is coming to an end, and it's being replaced roughly by containers. So I suppose that many people in the audience are pretty much into containers and using Docker and these kind of tools, so perhaps you can feel that there is some truth in that statement. And I do feel that there is some truth in that statement, right? We're all using containers more and more. Yet, I would like to challenge that idea that, you know, this is the future. This is the only way we can move forward. Actually, last year at FOSDEM, I was giving a talk in the distributions dev room. And so I wanted to, you know, look at the history of distributions with respect to other tools. And yeah, like I said, last year we were in a, you know, so the distributions dev room was much smaller than this one, and that was mostly distribution developers, and I had the impression that it was actually the desperate distribution developers dev room in a way, because, you know, distributions are not so much in fashion these days. That's my impression. Perhaps you would agree. But back when I started with Swiss software, we had these distributions, for example, Slackware, Debian, and the Red Hat distribution, and they were pretty much at the center of the stage for free software. Like, they were the gateway to free software. You had, I mean, that was really high technology in a way. It allowed you to deploy software in a way that was pretty much new, like proprietary software didn't have anything equivalent. And you could quickly run apt-get install blah, and you get your application, plus all its dependencies. You don't have to compile it. It's just, you know, high-tech, right? So there was, I think there was a lot of activity around distributions, and they were at the center of the stage, right? That was the golden age of distributions. But then started becoming cloudy. People started to realize there are some shortcomings in distributions as we know them. So for example, I happen to work with people who do high-performance computing, HPC. So they're using clusters with lots of users, and obviously you're not going to run sudo apt-get install on the cluster, right? I mean, some people do, but not every user. It's only sysadmins. So you need to find a way to allow scientists to deploy their software stack. And for that, well, you can just let them compile everything by hand, or you can use one of the tools that have been developed over time. So, for example, one of the most common one is called modules. I don't know if you've heard about that one. It's extremely common on HPC clusters. It basically allows you to define your programming environment, so you can say module load, open MPI, module load, GCC, blah, blah, blah. And every user can define their environment independently of other users, so you get a lot of flexibility. But of course, the downside is that HPC sysadmins end up creating a distribution on their own just for their own cluster. And so there's a lot of duplicated work. It's not, you know, it's not exactly efficient, I would say. But yeah, modules is pretty much like virtualenv. So you've probably heard about virtualenv for Python. Modules is somehow more generic, but it doesn't take care of actually building the software, so you still need to do it by hand. And then there are tools like SPAC or EasyBuild that actually take care of automating builds, like running configure, make install for each of your packages, roughly. These are package managers layered on top of the distribution that's running in the system. So in a way, we're already layering additional package managers on top of the distribution just because the distribution has limitations, right? That doesn't feel so great. And then you have deployment tools like Ansible, Puppet, Propler, Chef, all these tools. So these are not package managers, right? So it's kind of a different category. But still, I think, you know, deploying software in general is kind of the distribution's job, right? Typically, when you deploy systems using Ansible, you fiddle with the configuration of the system, you install packages, and things like that. It's sort of the distribution's job, just applied to a bunch of machines instead of just a single machine, roughly. So it tells something that we have to yet add another layer of tools on top of the distribution just to address that use case. Well, it can still get worse. I'm sure you're familiar with all the language-specific package managers. They are wonderful tools for people who develop programming languages. It's a very easy way to allow your users to get started and use libraries in your language. That's great from that point of view, but it adds another layer of software deployment on top of all these tools, and it becomes a little bit messy when, in practice, many people end up using, like five of these tools maybe on a daily basis because they want to deploy Python code, maybe, Rust code, maybe Haskell code, and so you have lots of different tools depending on the kind of code that you're deploying. It doesn't feel great. And lastly, well, that's the thunder. Containers, right? So it's become so complex to manage all these software stack that you need to have a way to say, all right, I'm just giving up. I managed to get something that works, right? I managed to get to a state that's actually usable. I have all my software installed for my application. This is perfect. I don't want to touch it anymore. So I'm just going to freeze it in an image, a Docker image, for example, and then I can carry the bits of my system to another machine, for example, and I can run my application again without having to fiddle with pip, cargo, apt-get, blah, blah, blah. It does solve problems, practical problems for people, but still it doesn't feel right to me, right? We're sort of giving up on deployment, right? It's too complex, let's just freeze. We get an image and then we use it and we don't bother anymore. It doesn't feel right. So my question last year in that distributions dev room was, are these tools doomed? Well, maybe, maybe not. The good news for distributions is, we had people saying Debian and other distributions are going to be that thing you run Docker on and little more. It's the end. But the good news is it's also that thing you run inside Docker, because that's how you deploy software, right? So that's the on-cloud Docker file, for example. How do they deploy their dependencies? Well, first they start by running apt-get, and that's it. So that tells something. And to me, it means that perhaps we should pay attention. Going back to that Docker file. This is great, it does the job, but it lacks transparency. So if we look at the first line of the Dockerfile says, okay, I'm going to start with that big blob that contains a whole distribution, and from there, I'm going to run a bunch of commands to modify the state of my container image, to install additional software, and so on and so forth. And so the end result of that is that containers are like smoothies. So that's a phrase I borrowed from Ricardo Vermes, another Geeks hacker. A container is like a smoothie in the sense that you can taste it, right? You can say whether you like it or not, whether it's to your taste. But it's really hard to say what's inside that smoothie, right? It's like, yeah, it's red, but what's in there? I don't really know. It lacks transparency. And usually when we say that, people come to us and say, well, look, come on, you're exaggerating. We have a Dockerfile, so it's entirely transparent. We know what's inside. Well, do we? I mean, if we go back to that Dockerfile, can someone really tell me what software packages are in there? I'm not sure. You know, we're just, if we run that Dockerfile, we're going to get different results every time we run it, because the first command that we run in there is apt-get update, right? So if I run it today, I'm going to get, you know, specific versions of the packages, but if I run it in 2 months, I'm going to get different versions. So that's not great. Plus, if we look at that from line up there, it doesn't tell us what's in there. So the abstraction level is the wrong one. We'd like to think in terms of packages that are available, and what we have instead is something pretty opaque. So I believe we should not throw out the baby with the bathwater. Oh, I took this picture from